This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and Blunkies, welcome to the NWA Sunday special. You know what? It's a special, all right. It is the Back for the Attack reaction pod. You know what's great about this is that we can actually sit here and talk on a Sunday night about the new NWA. And I can't wait to go over the pay-per-view, Back for the Attack. If you haven't seen it yet, it's worth buying and watching it on Fight TV. I know you can watch the replay of it. If you did watch it, I was looking online. I don't see many negative reactions to this pay-per-view. But I can't do this alone. I have to bring in my partner. We watched the show live on Twitch today with Sean Kidd and Callum McDougal. Callum does a great job with the Twitch. We had a great time. And now we get to give you a little reaction. We had let it all sink in for a few hours so we could really break it down. Scott, welcome back to the show. Sunday special.
I thought you were just going to keep going and forget to intro me and just do the whole show by yourself. That's what it felt like at first. Like,
no, I like to build it up.
Build the drama. I thought you were going to be like, I'm going to bring in my partner who was with me with Callum and Sean today on the Twitch feed, which is a great Twitch feed, by the way. So on the first match we had, I thought you were just going to keep going. One day you may do that. Dr. G, always a pleasure. Yes, everyone, welcome to this special Sunday night edition of the NWA Saturday special. But of course it's not Saturday. This is the Back for the Attack reaction show.
It is.
Of course, the NWA's return pay-per-view was, as we're taping, it ended about 4 hours ago. Of course, some of you probably watched WWE Fastlane as well. Of course, we had a Twitch feed for that. So I hope you were able to join in the fun and jump in the chat with all of our crazy knuckleheads from Place to Be Nation. And, we'll talk, you'll hear more about Fastlane down the line. But this is strictly for the NWA Back for the Attack pay-per-view, which happened earlier today down at the GPB Studios in Hot Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, there was no crowds, but they did have like some people around, like workers probably and other wrestlers, kind of like NXT does, just have a little extra, some juice. And I agree with you, Dr. G, that it is nice to be able to discuss a brand new, fresh reaction show of a fresh show. You know, I think the last time we did a current, not counting Primetime Live, but I think the last time we did an NWA show was a few Saturday specials ago when they on the YouTube channel, when they released that special Superpower episode they did in, I think it was supposed to be slated for late March, early April, right before the Crockett Cup. But of course, with COVID, all that stuff went right in the stinker. So they aired it anyway down. I think they aired it what, in like August or September, you and I did it. And I think that's the last, not counting UWN Primetime Live, I think that was the last NWA current thing we actually talked about. And then, of course, we did all of our classic, our history shows, etc. So we were pumped for this.
Yeah.
Very excited.
This is one of these things where you're like, wow. You know, we sat there and we bitched and we complained and we ripped into Billy a little bit. And, you know, we were sitting there on the Twitch feed today. Wow, we're actually sitting here talking about the NWA. So, listen, you know, maybe it wasn't we didn't get the answers we wanted at the time that we wanted them. But in the end, we're getting what we want back. And it was really a well-written show. For what the NWA needed to start getting the ball rolling. I think we'll start really seeing all the storylines and everything matriculate starting on Power on Tuesday. I think this was more of like a preview for Power.
Yeah, it was more like an exhibition pay-per-view to get everybody back into the groove. to see all of their stars and kind of get our feet under us again before diving into the good stuff. So we are at GPB. The set was perfect. The cameras were a little different. If you remember, the hard camera was across from the crowd. This time around, I think the camera was on the side that the crowd would be on. I think Callum made that point on the Twitch feed. And it was pointing towards the set. So where Joe Galli, and we'll tell you who the color commentator was in a minute, was on the left.
They did have a little bit of a crowd. It must have been like the...
it was like NXT, where they have like workers and stuff. That's probably what
workers and stuff. Yeah, you know what? It added a little to the ambiance of the show.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it was only maybe like 150, 200 people in there anyway when during normal times. But if you add in whatever 20, 30 people just making some noise, it's better than it being silent.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the NWA does a better job of producing than the UWN guys did.
Oh, I agree. Their only problem was they were a little off when they were doing their pre-taped. When they were going in and out of the pre-taped segment, interview segments back into the live, it was a little shaky. Like they let the tape end, and then they went to live instead of kind of going to a smoother transition. Other than
the transitions
were a little. But and you know what? That's just rust because these guys haven't produced anything in months. So that's rust. I think that'll when we start watching Power on Tuesday. I think
overall though, I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did. So Joe Galli's our play-by-play guy, and as I predicted last night, yesterday on the Saturday special, Tim Storm was our color commentator. Of course, he's like the John Cena of NWA. He's like the ultimate babyface. You know what? I blew a chance to say with Sean today, oh, Tim Storm, he's the Ricky Steamboat of the NWA. but he did commentary. We had a couple of guest commentators at two matches, and we'll get to them later. And Kyle Davis was the kind of the live interview guy. We didn't have Sean Mooney. Hopefully he comes back. And Mae Valentine is still there. She was actually doing the pre-taped interview segments with certain people. So, all right. So let's get into match number one. We had six matches total. We had three title matches and a number one contenders match amongst the six matches. So we open with a four-way match. Four guys, two of them you should know well if you're a fan of the indies and you've been watching NWA over the last few years, and two guys that you may know if you watched UWN Primetime live during their stretch. So we had Jax Dane, the former NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Crimson, who of course wrestled in Impact and helps run the Tried and True promotion in Knox. I think it's Knox. I always wonder, I should probably look it up. I think it's Knoxville. And then two guys that we had seen on UWN Primetime Live, Jordan Clearwater and Uncle Stevie's favorite wrestler, Slice Boogie.
Slice Boogie, baby.
Slice Boogie. And sadly, we don't have match times. I should have timed the matches. Maybe when I watch it again on the replay on Fight, maybe I'll time the matches. But we know one match was 10 minutes. I know that. We know that for a fact. But this was a fun opener. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice mix of styles. You had Slice, who's kind of a hybrid. Crimson and Jax Dane, big guys. Jordan Clearwater, a high flyer. I thought there was, we had said this throughout the Twitch feed, that the live Twitch, that, a lot of wrestlers today, Doctor, will probably have some ring rust, except maybe Thunder Rosa, because she's obviously been wrestling on AEW. But I thought these four worked very well together today.
I did too. I'm not a big fan of the three ways or the four way matches, but for what it was, it wasn't bad. It was about I found a place where we could get some of the time, so it was 5 minutes and 55 seconds.
Really? Wow, seemed longer than that. Wow, that's crazy. Seemed longer than that, but okay. So just under 6 minutes. Seemed longer.
Yeah, so they moved it along nicely. A lot of back and forth. It didn't get like where it was too busy. Sometimes with those matches, it could get, you're trying to concentrate. Oh, it's too busy. There's, so many guys in the ring at one time. They did a pretty good job. And Slice Boogie with the missile drop kick pulls out the win.
Yeah.
I mean, and I said it, you know, I was actually kind of being funny on Friday because I know you like Slice Boogie, but I kind of went with it. And lo and behold, look who wins the match.
I was fucking stunned. Now, my heart, I picked Jack Stane. My head, my heart wanted Slice Boogie. I had no clue that Slice Boogie was going to win this match. No clue at all. I was totally thinking it was either going to be Jack Stane or Crimson. And Slice Boogie got the win. I was stunned. Oh, that's a good start. Maybe he's going to stick around in the NWA, and maybe he'll.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. Ladder. I think he's going to be a regular.
Yeah,
I don't think they would make him win if right. he wasn't to be a regular.
No, I agree with you, and I look forward to seeing him move up the ladder over the coming weeks. We did kind of see a little chemistry between Jax Dane and Crimson, and Sean mentioned today on the watch that they used to be a tag team, and they were called the War Kings. And they wrestled. They were actually two-time OVW tag team champions. So they kind of gave each other looks. And you and I said it. I would love to see Crimson and Jax Dane reunite as the War Kings. I think we could have after establishing some of the singles guys, Billy really needs to really create a good tag division and put those two together and just let them start fucking pummeling jobbers and stuff. I think that'd be the right thing to do. Because they've got the chemistry, they're great together in the ring, so I'm kind of hoping that we see them together as the War Kings again.
Yeah, I that would be great. That would be phenomenal for the tag team division, which is going to need some guys. You know, they're gonna, you know, obviously mm-hmm. they didn't have enough teams that they had to split up the champions tonight.
Right. Yeah. So we hope to see that over the coming. Weeks the tag division grow, but Slice Boogie gets, in my opinion, kind of an upset win in the four-way match today over Jax Dane, Crimson, and
you know, could they have used more time to maybe tell a little bit more to the story? Yeah, I guess they could have, but mm-hmm. you know, obviously they were trying to keep this one a two-hour window, and you know, so it was enough action to keep you interested. And you know, sometimes with those matches, you go too long, then the match, you know, loses its effectiveness.
Right. No, I agree. You're exactly right. Next up, we have a singles match between the other half, one half actually, of our World Tag Team Champions, J.R. Kratos, because his partner is in a big match later in the show, taking on former WWE and Impact superstar Tyrus. Of course, in WWE, he was Brodus Clay, the Funkasaurus. And boy... Has he been enjoying the sandwiches at the Fox News commissary? Woo!
Yeah, his ring rust was definitely
evident.
You know, evident during this match. You know, he moved very slowly. He breathed heavily.
It looked good for about the first 5 minutes, I feel like. The first 5 minutes, I felt we had a good power match. I think Kratos has a great presence, you know? But yeah, I agree with you. When you hit the, when they hit the 5 minute mark, his tank was on E.
Yeah, he definitely did not look like he wrestled recently. You know, you could tell there was some ring rust there, but they did the best they could under the circumstances. I think I was kind of shocked that he won the match.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, he does somewhat have the name.
Yeah,
but I don't know if he's, you know, if this means, you know, this was his payday was to, you know, basically win just because he had the name, or if he's gonna stay around. I don't mm-hmm. know. He didn't look so great. He definitely needs some more ring work. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Do you have a match time? It could have been longer than 6 minutes, maybe six and a half. Do you have a match time?
It was Tyrus defeated J.R. Kratos in 7 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah, that last 2.5 minutes, he was heaving. He was definitely heaving. So in 7.5 minutes, Tyrus gets the win over J.R. Kratos. And I felt like, and he did cut a heel promo. He was dogging the crowd, disrespect, that kind of thing. So if Tyrus is sticking around in the NWA, I think he will likely be a heel. But again, we'll see how that plays out maybe Tuesday night on Power. Next up, we have our first title match of the afternoon, the World's Television Championship on the line. Your champion, my favorite and yours, the Pope, Elijah Burke, taking on Strictly Business member Tom Latimer. And let me tell you something. Tom Latimer is a beast. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that probably eats the gym. I mean, I thought he's a big guy to begin with, but pre-COVID, he was just, you know, a big guy. But when he walked out today, he had a presence about him. He's a guy he's a player. He's a player. He's a future player.
He is. And I mean, he did do that shoulder block he did on Pope. He knocked him into the corner and, then he drove him, I'm wondering if I can remember correctly, he drove him to the mat.
Yep.
And then went up top.
Yeah.
Which was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Pope got up and, you know, and suplexed Latimer. But, you know, it was interesting to see the dynamic between those two.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It was a better match than I expected. I mean, two good guys in the ring, but I wasn't really sure what we were going to get. But when you had that 10-minute time limit, you knew you were going to, for the most part, get a lot of action. And that's what, when we were talking about on Twitch is that you may get a little brief period where it slows down in the middle of the match, but for the most part, the match is going to be fast paced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your period of time.
I agree. Yep. 100%. 100%. And Elijah Burke is a good face in peril. He took a good beating, but made some comebacks. Wasn't crazy about his weird leggings thing going on. I thought they were knee pads that he kept down, but I thought he pulled them up and he knocked
it. I thought they were going to make an extension on the match because Pope didn't look too happy the way he retained the title. Then he asked him for a handshake and then, then Latimer
gave
left.
Him the fungal, gave him the old fungal mats.
So I think you're definitely going to see some more between those two in the coming months.
Now, for those that may not know, the way the new NWA is doing it, and they did it pre-COVID, on Power, the TV title matches are 6 minutes and 5 seconds. That's 6:05.
Now, were you disappointed that they didn't, with Pope being the face, that they didn't extend it a few more minutes, or, like a 5 minutes or whatever?
What I would have done was made the match longer. I still would have done the draw, but I would have made it maybe 15 minutes. I feel like 10 minutes was too short. I would have made it 15 minutes. I don't mind the draw, but I think
they're going to make they're probably going to have another match on Power.
I agree.
I don't know if that'll be this Tuesday, but in the future.
Yeah, no, I agree. So anyway, as I was saying, in the old days, the NWA title, what they used to do was the first 10 minutes of the match was for the title. And if the challenger didn't win the match in 10 minutes, the match would continue, but the title would no longer be on the line. That's what I thought we were getting here. But no, it was a simple 10-minute time limit draw.
Yeah, they could have booked that way and then had Latimer beat him.
Yeah.
It was like a screw job. And then this way you kind of set up a feud. I mean, there's a couple ways you could have gone with it. But either way, you could tell this is going to be a feud that's going to continue.
Yeah, no, this is far from over. Burke wanted to shake his hand, maybe continue the match, and Latimer gave him the fungomats, fungul, as D'Amato would say, and he walked out. So Elijah Burke and Tom Latimer wrestled to a 10-minute draw, and Burke retained the television championship. Good match, by the way. Good chemistry. I think they work well together. And Tom Latimer, we were saying this a lot on Twitch, Tom Latimer has the look of a future world's heavyweight champion. I think so. He's an animal. I would not be surprised if that's the guy.
I know we weren't really doing stars so much, but I would say that was a 3-star match.
Yeah, I would be. I'm not surprised.
I mean, the ending might kill it for you a little bit. I mean, I understood where they were going with it, but I would definitely give that a 3 stars on that one.
Yeah, I think I might too. And they worked their tails off . But Tom Latimer is a guy that's going to be a player in this business over the coming years. He's still young. I think he's 27, maybe 28. I'll have to look at his. Let me see how old he is. I want to just confirm that. I don't want to speak out of turn. Tom Latimer is. Oh, he's 34. Wow, I didn't know he was that old. Of course, he's the former Bram. He is the ex-husband of. Charlotte Flair. So I don't know if he'll go in the WWE. Who knows? I don't know if. Could you imagine Andrade leaves, Charlotte's fiance, and then her ex-husband comes into the company? That'd be pretty funny, actually. So Tom Latimer and Elijah Burke wrestle to a 10-minute draw, so Burke retains the television championship. We have next up one of the big ones. But by the way, Mae Valentine did interviews in between the matches with certain people.
She did.
An idol. She interviewed Trevor Murdoch. So we won't get into those, but she did some pre-taped interviews in between the matches. So nothing earth shattering. This is the big one. The match that I think everybody was waiting for, and the match that was a year in the making, a number one contenders match for the World Women's Championship. Our champion, of course, is Serena Deeb, but Serena just had some work done on her knee, as I've mentioned before, so she probably won't be back for maybe another 6 weeks or so. So we may not see her in action until maybe late April, early May. So here we have Camille against the former World Women's Champion, your favorite and mine, Thunder Rosa. Obviously, Thunder Rosa trying to sell the beating that she got at the hands of Britt Baker this past Wednesday on Dynamite.
Not as much as I thought, though.
No, Joe Galli did mention it, though. But she didn't have like a bandage on her head or anything. It was a little strange. I was perplexed by that. But she came out with her U.S.-Mexico hybrid flag, which I thought was kind of neat. I knew that this match was going to be different to watch because we talked about on the Twitch today, and we've talked about over the past couple weeks how some of these wrestlers are probably going to suffer from a little ring rust, and deal with haven't been in the ring in a while and such. Camille definitely looked rusty here. She has a good heel presence. She likes like jaw jacking with her opponent, but she does this arm waving thing that annoys me. It's kind of the same thing Kenny Omega does. He like moves his hands around, but he doesn't know what to do with them. I feel like Camille does the same thing. Enough with the arm waving, but yeah, she does like jaw jacking.
Camille definitely needs some more ring time, but
yeah, she does.
Thunder Rosa did a great job. I mean, I think Thunder Rosa definitely made this match. Camille in certain spots.
Yeah,
definitely did her job, look dominant at certain times to make her that dominant heel. But I thought Rosa did a great job after a brutal match on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And really kept the pace going in this match. I mean, you could say this was right up there as the match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Camille, you know, may not have looked as sharp as we would like, but Thunder Rosa is one of the top 2-3 women in the world. So
absolutely,
I think Rosa did the right thing here. I think you need to really put Camille over as that monster heel woman that in the company, and set up some more feuds, and eventually you'll probably see Thunder Rosa and Camille having a rematch, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I mean, there were some moments where Camille, you know, there was a couple of spots she botched. She went in on Thunder Rosa threw her into the post. And I mean, it was almost like the diesel boot to Bigelow at the 1995 King of the Ring. I mean, Camille missed the pole. Her head was like 8 inches from the post.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
What do you think? What did you think about the spear?
I thought her spear is great. I mean, she's in great shape. She thrusts well. Thrust well. But she smacks it pretty good, so I give her that. I mean, she's tall. There was another moment,
well,
and I kind of blame
well.
you like that? I will say this. I'm not going to totally blame Camille. I have a feeling the camera... Let's put it this way. This was the one time of the day where I think the show missed Dave Lagana, because if Dave was calling the camera shots, there was a shot directly at them where you could clearly see Camille calling a spot in Thunder Rosa's ear. Now, if the TDs backstage knew that was about to happen, an experienced TD like Dave would probably have changed the camera angle to Camille's back so you don't see it. Well, they kept the camera on them, and you could clearly see Camille whispering in Thunder's ear. It's kind of like when Ken Shamrock said "hit me" to Ryan Shamrock at, I think it was, St. Valentine's Day Massacre or something. So that was rough, but I'm not going to totally blame Camille for that. I might have to give a little fault to the technical.
Yeah, that's probably a tough one because you don't know.
Yeah, they might have needed to change that camera angle. Other than that, Camille, I thought, was very good. She works with power. She hits power. She hits power moves. But Thunder Rosa clearly carried a big hunk of this match because she's a pro, and she threw herself around. She sold well. She had a couple of nice submission moves. Camille did not bend or break. And then after back-to-back spears, it took two spears, Camille got the three count, and she is the new number one contender for the NWA World Women's Championship. So sometime down the line, Camille will get a shot at Serena Deeb. And we're going to assume it's
but
either going to be...
Don't worry, you're going to see Camille and Thunder Rosa go at it again. This
yeah,
match
I think
is
so
14
too.
Minutes, which yeah, we would like say about 15 minutes. So we were close.
And it was not a long 14 minutes. It felt faster. But it was a good match. It was a very good match. I'd give it about 3 stars as well, even with Camille looking a little clunky at times. But again, she's one that I think week by week we'll see grow as a wrestler. And it's a big deal. I think it was a huge, huge win for Camille. Thunder Rosa didn't need the win. Camille, I think, needed the win. So I also think that maybe we'll see a triple threat down the line. It's very hard to talk about creative until this coming Tuesday night when you and I watch the first Power back before we could really talk about anything in that aspect. But top to bottom, I thought it was a great match. Camille gets the victory, and she is the number one contender for the World Women's title, and she will take on Serena Deeb somewhere along the line. That's a good song, right, Dr. G? Somewhere along the line. So there you go. Camille gets the win in a great match. Mae Valentine interviews our national champion, Trevor Murdoch. And then we have our fifth match of the night, our second title match, and that is Trevor Murdoch defending the national championship against Chris Adonis, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Chris Masters. It's the first time I've seen Chris Masters. Well, we did see him. He was on an episode of Primetime Live. So I think we saw him in what? Mid to late November, I think we saw him. He definitely doesn't have the bulk that he had when he was in the WWF. He's not drinking Nandrolone anymore or Diana Ball. But he's still in good shape. Trevor Murdoch's shaped like Trevor Murdoch. I don't know what you can say.
It's true.
Now, what I thought was funny was Chris Adonis had on Chris Masters tights. He still had like those velvety tights, and it had the M on the back. So he was definitely wearing a pair of his classic 2006 tights. So, but in any event, the match was 9 minutes, which is about the length I thought it would be. And really fun match. It was a ground and pound, not a lot of aerials, because you're not talking, these two guys don't throw themselves around. I feel like at this point, because you and we were talking with Callum G and Sean, that we felt like this show was going at a very brisk pace. This was the fifth match, and I think we'd only been on the show for like an hour and 10 minutes or something. So we're like, oh, wow. So they definitely slowed this match down. I thought this match was longer, to be honest. But good back and forth, and with a nice schoolboy backslide, Trevor Murdoch, which I thought was a little bit of an upset here, Trevor Murdoch retains his national championship. What were your thoughts on the match?
You know, I was thinking about this. First of all, it was a very solid match. Going into it, I don't know. You know, again, Murdoch is a good technician in the ring.
Right.
You know, Chris Adonis, it just depends on what day of the week you get him. Sometimes he looks really good in the ring, and then sometimes he's kind of rusty. I don't know why you consider that an upset. I mean, Trevor Murdoch, since he's come back to the NWA, has done a really good job. I mean, what has Chris Adonis done? You know,
I know, but I guess
much better. I guess I wasn't understanding why you thought it was an upset.
I guess because I was anticipating at least one title change. And again, at the time, we were considering this like a regular pay-per-view with some storyline advancement, et cetera. And instead, it was, you know, as we were watching the show, we realized it was more of a...
you could say you're shocked because you thought maybe a title change would happen.
Yeah, I'll say that. Maybe that's kind of what I mean. I think I more mean that. No disrespect to Trevor Murdoch by any means. The guy's a spirited veteran and a good hand. So no disrespect to him at all. I was just expecting the one upset here. I shouldn't say upset. That's not a good word. The one title change here. And I thought that that Adonis was going to win the title. But this feud's going to continue because Adonis and Murdoch shook hands after the match. Murdoch turned around and Adonis beat the shit out of him. and stomped on him and threw him in the, put him in the master lock. They called it the master lock, pretty much because WWF stole the master lock from the company master lock. So it's not really, it can't really be copywritten. And guys were coming in trying to break up the move. I thought Adonis should have put everybody in the master lock, to be honest. And then we saw Austin Idol walk out. And at first, because the camera angle saw Austin Idol walk. I don't think he was meant to be seen by the camera. But I, but remember you and I said, oh, shit. Is Austin Idol going to manage Chris Adonis? How fucking cool would that be? Because, you know, he had his cool shirt on and his hat. And he looked like the Austin Idol of, you know, 1983. Even though he's, what would you say he was, 71? He didn't look 71.
Yep, 71.
Yeah, he just looks 71. So what were your thoughts on the aftermatch? I like that. I like that, that Chris Adonis looked solid still as a heel. And this feud, it's clear that this is a feud that's got legs. You know.
Yeah, this is good old-fashioned NWA heel heat. You know, do the whole shaking your hand after the match. And then, you know, when the guy turns around, just beating the hell out of him. Definitely sets up a rematch. Love it. I love when you have this. I love when you have this real mean-looking heel. And I agree with you. It would have been nice to see him put it on everyone, put the master lock on everyone. I think it would have added a little bit more to the effect of it. But regardless, I still think that he did a good job in getting his heel heat. And we will see a rematch. I don't know when, but we will see a rematch between these two. This story is not over.
No, I agree with you 100%. It's definitely not over. Oh, by the way, I meant to mention it first. The show opens with a promo. I meant to mention this, and my apologies. Before the four-way, the National Treasure, our NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis, came out and cut a promo talking about the rebirth and the NWA's back, and the crowd was pumped, and it was a solid, good, energetic promo to get the show started. My apologies. I meant to mention that at the beginning. He did cut a promo right before the four-way match. Speaking of Nick Aldis, that leads us to our main event. For the first time on television since September, and for the first time on NWA programming since TAMS, I shouldn't say that. Didn't he defend the title against Ricky Morton? Yeah, he did. I think it was an episode of Power, right? Didn't Nick Aldis, or was that a non-title match? Now I'm confused. I hate getting confluffled like this. Damn it.
I don't remember now.
He fought Ricky Morton, but I don't remember if it was a title match or not. Something tells me it was. In any event, first time on pay-per-view since he wrestled Flip Gordon back at Hot Times. Nick Aldis, the owner of Sweet Charlotte, the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Didn't the belt look glorious today?
It did, nice and shiny.
It's shiny. It's We talked about it, you know, Sean Kidd and I are 100 grade A belt junkies, and we are belt junkies and flunkies. And I there's no doubt right now, just the way it looks, Sweet Charlotte, the 10 pounds of gold is a top five belt in all of professional wrestling right now. And yes, it's a belt. It's not a strap. Well, although I don't mind the word strap. It's not, quote, a championship. It's a belt. You put it around your waist. It holds up your tights. No, it doesn't hold up your tights. Still a belt. In any event. Was it Aaron Stevens who cut that promo on Power? And he kept saying, remember, because Vince was pissed off, he hated the word belt.
Yep.
So on the next episode of Power, Aaron Stevens said belt like 9 times in a promo. So great. And he comes out with his Mongrovian karate jacket in honor of his fallen friend, Joseph Hudson, Josephus, the question mark. And I got to tell you, I don't know about ring rust. I don't know about any of that, but I saw no ring rust in this match. And I want to take a shot at what the length of the match was. See, there's no length for this one. I'm a little bummed.
I don't know why they didn't put it in this article.
Match, it's not on Wikipedia either. I don't think there's any doubt this match was at least 20 minutes. And I think it might have gone a little over 20 minutes.
Agreed.
This match was fantastic. It was a great technical psychology-driven story. Aaron Stevens wrestled much more aggressively than we'd seen him in the past. And there were definitely times where Nick Aldis was on his heels, which you don't see a lot. And a great story. And in a finish that we've seen before, Aaron Stevens had Nick Aldis in a small package. Aldis was able to move his weight, shifting it to turn it over. He got the shoulders. He got Stevens' shoulders to the mat as he kind of reversed the small package for the 1-2-3. And Nick Aldis retained the world's heavyweight championship. But I'll tell you something. Aaron Stevens gave him a run for his money today.
I you know what? This to me wound up being way better match than I expected.
Mm.
I thought these guys had great chemistry. I thought they worked well together. I thought the psychology was good. I think that again, I could see them fighting for the championship again, and it was a nice way to end off, you know, the show, you know, with a little tribute to Josephus. So it's just all in all. I mean, I thought going into it, a lot of people weren't excited about the Aaron Stevens Nick Aldis match, but I think if you did order it and watch it, you really can't be that disappointed. I thought they put on a great show.
I agree. Yeah. They went back and forth again. I feel like Stevens was much more aggressive than he normally is. There was no joking around, no goofing off, no Sandow-ish things. He was in there to win that title.
No doubt.
And, man, what a war. What a war. And Nick Aldis, as usual, I don't want to say escaped, but did a nice turnaround on the back end of the small package, and he kind of shifted his weight, got the shoulders down on Stevens, got the three count, and escaped with the title. And then a wonderful moment at the end. Wonderful moment. Aaron Stevens was holding the question mark mask. He got up. He shook Aldis, extended his hand. They shook. And then out came a pouring of people, including, I think it was Joseph Hudson's wife, who was holding the Mongrovian flag. And the crowd, you know, those in the building chanted, "Thank you, Joseph." And he looked up. And this was a great moment. Stevens looked up at the sky and said, "That was for you, Sensei. That was awesome." And then we got the copyright and we were off the air. But while we were talking, you, me, and Sean and Callum, we all left the feed on. It came back.
Yep.
And I think it was by accident. And Aaron Stevens cut a promo, unless they wanted us to go back. And they went to the commentary table, and Tim Storm was crying.
Yeah, I guess he was very instrumental backstage, and it was a sad thing. Young guy, and you know, big part of the company, especially, you know, playing really two roles, and he will be missed. And I, you know what, I thought that Aaron Stevens really, you know, really did had a great showing here. You know, the World Heavyweight Champion, 9 times out of 10, always puts on a great show, but we weren't sure about how these two would work together. But I wouldn't mind seeing them wrestle again. That's how good I enjoyed it. How many stars would you have given for that match?
I would give it, I'd probably give it 3 3/4. I think it creeps up to 4 stars, but I would definitely have at least given it 3 3/4. But I would give it close to 4 stars.
I went 3.5 on it. I actually thought this was the match of the night, because I thought the execution on this was a little bit more flawless on both wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the women's match was great. Don't get me wrong. In the end, I thought, you know, that match was great, but I thought this match was better.
Mm. Yeah, I thought so too. It was a 50-50.
Now, maybe because I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, but but I have to say these two worked their asses off.
Yeah, they did. They absolutely did. Yeah, absolutely. And then we're off the air. So it was a nice, tight. I saw the runtime on Fight TV. It was 1 hour, 57 minutes, and 35 seconds. So nice, neat, tidy, scoosh under 2 hours pay-per-view. Top to bottom, Dr. G, was it worth the $20?
No doubt. If you have not watched this yet and you want to see it based on what we're talking about here, I don't know if the replays are still $20.
I think they are.
If they are, it's worth the $20. Seriously. I wouldn't say it if, you know, I would never tell somebody to spend, you know, $20 of their money just throw it away for on nothing. This you will not be disappointed. I gave the overall show three and a half stars. I'm creeping up towards 3.75 stars, but
for the whole show?
Yeah, for the whole
show. All right, well, usually with whole shows, we do 1 to 10. So 1 to 10, what would you say?
7.
7? Yeah, I'll give it a 7.5. I thought that the I thought all the matches delivered except the Tyrus Kratos match, and that's because Tyrus clearly needs to hit the treadmill and stop eating the free ham and cheese sandwich.
But it wasn't offensive. I mean, it wasn't like
commissary.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like the worst match I ever saw, you know?
No.
It's not like watching Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant or something like that.
No, there's only one Boogie now, and it's Slice Boogie.
Slice. But right. I don't know. I just thought it was a solid show. Now, again, there's a lot of excitement, you know, on our part having it back. Sometimes when you really want to see a company like that succeed, you may try to boost it a little bit. But I have to say, it was a really good show. I mean, I thought for coming back, there was some ring rust on behalf of some of the wrestlers, but they did a good job, the best job they could in covering that up and working the best that they could. And we had some title matches. No titles changed.
No.
Because I think, like you said, even though it was a pay-per-view and you're paying more, but if you want people to pay that $5 a month, I think you're going to have to really, you know, introduce some good storylines for Power. And I think you saw some storylines come out of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Even if it wasn't obvious or they're not going to announce it, I think you could see the way the matches were booked that they wanted, more involvement going forward.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. I think so, too. So there you have it. There is our reaction to the NWA Back for the Attack pay-per-view. I agree with Dr. G. Put your $20 on the replay. It was really worth it. And then, maybe if you want to watch it once with the commentary and then watch it again and line it up with the Twitch archive on the Place to Be Nation YouTube page of myself, Dr. Sean Kidd, and Callum Kettle McDougal. And we did it. I thought we did a pretty good job. Dr. G, excellent Twitch debut today.
I really had a good time. I had a good time.
I did too.
I look forward to the next NWA show on Twitch that I'm sure we will do. Callum really loved it. He said we got some great response. Actually, the best response of all the Twitches so far.
Yeah.
I don't know how tonight's did, but definitely the one we did this afternoon was one of the best ever. And hopefully we'll keep it going because we have this little underground NWA crew here that really wants to see the current NWA succeed. I really hope they had a pretty good buy rate for what you know, you can't compare it to AEW, WWE buy rate. So it's
but like, nobody does
but for them.
But nobody does anymore.
But for them, I hope that they really, you know, they made some money, which means some of the wrestlers will make some money because they entertained us. And I think going forward, the Power shows, this kind of sets it up. And, you know, I know you said you were predicting maybe around Memorial Day weekend for a pay-per-view. The only thing I said to you was, is would they, they did WWE, they did a pay-per-view today with WWE on the same day, you know, just 3 hours later. But WWE is on that paid source where you pay monthly. So you're not, you know, coming at one big lump sum at a time. But if AEW has their pay-per-view that weekend, that's $50, and you're asking somebody to shell out another $20. I don't know if that's a wise,
yeah, you might be right.
Wise move.
Yeah, you but might be right. Listen, maybe they'll do it the following weekend, maybe.
They know, you know, they do a lot of research on this stuff. I mean, they may know better than me, but I'm just assuming that it might, you know, behoove us to be on a different weekend. But if they are on the same kind of weekend that AEW, if they're going to still do that, you know, use the talent of the NWA, mostly the women, on their shows, it could also be a good cross-promotion thing.
I agree. Sure. We'll see. Of course, we're talking about AEW Double or Nothing, which this will be the third year they do it, and it's usually the Saturday Memorial Day weekend. I definitely think we need to get 7 or 8 episodes of Power under our belt before we start talking about future pay-per-views, and I would like to think that the next pay-per-view will be the Crockett Cup that they wanted to do last year. Obviously, the whole Marty Scurll thing's not going to happen because Marty's in, I don't know where he is right now. He's somewhere in, is he in New Japan? I'm not sure. But of course, he's kind of persona non grata with the whole Me Too thing. So who knows, or call my, say my name or whatever the heck it's called. But so he's kind of on the pooper list. So I don't know if that storyline will continue. If it did, I'm sure Marty would have been here. But in any event, I think this is a good, this was a good reboot show. And I look forward to this coming Tuesday night when NWA Power makes its return. It's $5 a month, folks. $5 a month on Fight TV for every episode of Power every month. So you're getting $5 a month for, if it's four Tuesdays, for four episodes of television. And usually, if they go by the same length they did on YouTube, you're talking between 50 and 65 minutes. So you're getting a pretty good hunk of time. You're not getting some 30-minute, you know, throwaway thing. You're getting probably an hour, hour and 5 minutes of content a week. So 4 weeks of it for 50, for $5 a month. I mean, you can't go wrong. So
no, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they're going to format these shows and how the storylines will marinate, I guess,
mm-hmm.
over the coming months. Because I definitely think you need to, I think the show today kind of built some feuds. Mm-hmm. So I think the culmination of those feuds will happen at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I think you're right. I agree too. All right. Well, that'll do it. Dr. G, always a pleasure. Pleasure this weekend.
We've had a lot of fun.
Of course, you can find him on Twitter at Dr. G PTB. You can find me on Twitter at PTB Podfather. And of course, follow the brand on Twitter at Place to Be Nation. You and I will be back next Saturday morning for our usual episode of the Saturday Special, where we will recap the first episode of Power and see what kind of creative fun is forged ahead for the National Wrestling Alliance going forward for the rest of the spring into the summer and whenever their next pay-per-view is and how these feuds. We're definitely seeing more between Elijah Burke and Tom Latimer and more between Chris Donis and Trevor Murdoch. That's that. There's no doubt.
I agree.
So. And I'm looking forward to seeing the birth of the burgeoning of the tag division too. So anyway, thank you for joining us, everyone. Again, check out the Twitch feed. You could listen to it on our YouTube page, or if you have Twitch, I think it's on the archive there too. And you can follow the doctor and I every Saturday. So have a great week. Enjoy your tournament bracket, unless you burned it, because as of this taping, a lot of teams that would have won the tournament are my team's gone, Illinois. But I'm happy because I love Sister Mary and I love Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers. So, Doctor, always a pleasure. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on placetobe.podbean.com on the PTB Wrestling Network. I'm Scott. He is the Doctor. You are not.
Ciao.
Thank you.